Live and local, here for you. Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. High school football last night, we're getting to the end of regular season in some cases, and others battle for playoff positioning. That's where Huron Tigers were. Huron hosting Mitchell last night in the rivalry game at Tiger Stadium. Soggy at the beginning of the game and wet all the way through, although the rain did end. The wind, though, did not. Huron and Mitchell doing their classic battle, going down to the wire. Huron defeated Mitchell 19-14. Colt McNeil threw a 40-yard touchdown pass to C.J. Gainey for the go-ahead touchdown with a minute 18 left in the game. Then Gainey's interception with 21 seconds left clinched the game for the Tigers. McNeil had two other touchdown passes, 37 yards to Logan Leyendecker, 16 to Colby Hofer. McNeil finished the game 12 of 19 for 221 yards and the three touchdowns. Cashin Caudell, 18 carries for 140 yards. That will solidify Huron's berth in the playoffs. Now just to see where they go, they're at 4-4. They'll be hosting number 2 Yankton next Thursday to wrap up the regular season. For now, Huron number 6 in the seeding points. Game we had on the air here on KOKK last night, Avon defeated Woolsey Wessington 22-14. Low scoring game. It was Woolsey Wessington leading 6-0 going into the fourth quarter. Then Avon took off behind Isaiah Meyer. He scored three times, all in the fourth quarter, 60, 35, and 30 yards. As Avon rallied for the win, Meyer ended up with 22 carries for 206 yards. Woolsey Wessington, Caleb Richman had two touchdown passes to Peyton Radford, 11 yards in the second quarter and 60 yards late in the game. Richman was 13 of 24 for 161 yards. Gabe Case had 19 carries for 59 yards for the Warbirds. They're 4-4 on the season, looking ahead to the playoffs next week. Great Plains Lutheran notched a 28-20 win over Hitchcock Tulare. Eric Selman had all three touchdowns for the Patriots on runs of 6, 5, and 8 yards. He finished with 22 carries for 115 yards, and Hitchcock Tulare is 4-4. Good battle in 11B last night in Wessington Springs. Rapid City Christian defeated Woonsocket Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central, 7-0. Defensive battle again, and of course I'm sure the weather had something to do with that. Rapid City Christian's Braylon Marshall scored from 1 yard out on the first play of the fourth quarter. That wound up being the only score of the game. First loss of the season for the Blackhawks. And ironically, same two teams will play. And again, at the Blackhawks next Thursday in the first round of the playoffs. Elkton Lake Benton defeated DeSmit 12-2 last night. Trip Delmont Armor, Andy Central Dakota Christian defeated Miller Highmore Herald 44-14. Duel shut out Redfield 50-0. Oldham Ramona Rutland topped Iroquois Lake Preston 44-12. A look at scores from 11AA last night. Watertown pounded Spearfish 42-7. Yankton and Aberdeen had a good game. Aberdeen pulled it out in the second half 31-21. Harrisburg from AAA shut out Brookings 61-0. Top-ranked Pierre defeated number 3 T area 26-18 in AA. In AAA, Brandon Valley 34, Sioux Falls Jefferson 6, O'Gorman 42, Rapid City Central 7, Roosevelt 35, Rapid City Stevens 21, and Lincoln rolled to a 56-7 win over Sioux Falls Washington. That's the rundown of our high school football. We do have playoff matchups. We'll get to that here in a moment. First off, though, the schedule for today. The South Dakota State Soccer Championships are being played today at Brandon Valley High School in Brandon, 12th annual Soccer Championships. Class A is first at 11 o'clock. It'll be the girls' championship, T Area and Groton, followed by the boys, Sioux Falls Christian and T Area. Then beginning at 5 o'clock, it's AA girls, Mitchell and Harrisburg, and boys, Sioux Falls Lincoln and O'Gorman. All or three of the four matchups have the top seed against the second seed, the exception, Class A boys. That's number one, Sioux Falls Christian, and number three, T Area. Also on the schedule for today, volleyball, Miller Rustlers are hosting their own invitational today. DeSmet and Iroquois Lake Preston are playing in the Dakota Valley Conference Tournament. As I mentioned, the playoff matchups are set for Class 11 and B and all of the nine-man classes. The rundown for area teams in Class 11B, Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central as the 7 seed, and they will host number 10 seed Rapid City Christian. Those two teams playing just last week. Ironic, you go across the state and play an opponent you don't usually play, and now you'll play them back-to-back weeks, so two road trips for Rapid City Christian. In Class 9A, Wolsey Wessington has the number 6 seed. They will host number 11 seed Chester. In Class 9B, Hitchcock Tuler, the number 8 seed, they will host number 9, Lemon McIntosh. DeSmet, the number 4 seed, and they will play number 13 seed, Colombe. Here's the complete matchups. 11B, Parker is at top seed winner. Number 9, Aberdeen Roncalli, at number 8, Wagner. Number 13, Groton, and number 4, Elk Point Jefferson. Number 12, St. Thomas More, at number 5, Tri-Valley. Number 15, Webster, at number 2, Duel. Number 10, Rapid City Christian, at number 7, Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. Number 14, MVP, is at number 3, Sioux Valley. And number 11, Bridgewater Emory Ethan, is at number 6, Hot Springs. 9AA, Viberg-Hurley at number 16 is at top-seeded Parkston. Number 9, Hanson. At number 8, Leola Frederick. Number 13, Bonham. At number 4, Hamlin. Number 12, Kimball White Lake. At number 5, Wall. Number 15, Great Plains Lutheran. At number 2, Platte Geddes. Number 10, Freeman Academies. At number 7, Stanley County. Number 14, Ipswich. At number 3, Howard. And number 11, Britton Heckla is at number 6, Elkton Lake Benton. Class 9A, number 16, Coleman Egan is at top seed Warner. Number 9, Castlewood at number 8, Lyman. Number 13, Centerville is at number 4, Canastota. Number 12, Gregory at number 5, Harding County. Number 15, Burke at number 2, Alsetzer Hudson. Number 10, Esteline Hendricks at number 7, Dewbrook. Number 14, Timber Lakes at number 3, Phillip. And number 11, Chester is at number 6, Wolsey Wessington. Finally, in 9B, number 16, Faith is at top seed Avon. Number 9, Lemon McIntosh at number 8, Hitchcock Tuler. Number 13, Colombe at number 4, DeSmet. Number 12, Gayville Vollen at number 5, Harriet Selby. Number 15, Jones County at number 2, Fulton. 10 seed Kadoka is at number 7, Sully Buttes. Number 14, New Underwood at number 3, Corsica Stickney. Number 11, Parker County is at number 16, Del Rapids St. Mary. So for those four divisions, playoffs start next Thursday for 11 AAA, AA, and Single A. They'll finish out the regular season next Thursday with the playoffs the following week. A few notes here from Tiger Roar Booster Club. Postseason potlucks coming up on Monday for boys soccer, High School Commons, beginning at 6 o'clock. Monday, October 23rd, 6 o'clock for cheer and dance at the High School Commons. And for here on Tiger Cross Country will be Tuesday, October 24th at the High School Commons, beginning at 5:30. Everyone is welcome to attend. This morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll have James Valley Christian Cross Country with head coach Tom Brantner. We'll talk a little here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Tyann Ulmer. More from here on Tiger Football win last night with head coach Drew Strand. And wrap it up with a wrap-up of Minnesota Twins baseball. That's Dakota Sports Saturday coming up at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Norby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Started off talking James Valley Christian cross country with head coach Tom Brattner. The Vikings, like all cross country teams, are now just awaiting the state meet, which will be next week in Sioux Falls. And Tom, let's just give your views on the season. I know the girls had a successful season. The boys, a young team, missing probably their best runner. But overall, I know you had some pretty good results this year, both sides.
Yeah, we did. We were missing our best runner, Dax Ranson, on the boys' side. Our junior, Joel Olson, had a good beginning of the season, but struggled with a cold near the end of the season and ended up not getting in the top 20. And then we've got two 8th graders and two 7th graders that improved throughout the season. And we did end up getting Caden Ober, a young 8th grader, first year running, and was 18th up at the region. And so he'll be competing next Saturday in that state meet too. And our girls, had a consistent, strong season. Region 1 is just a tough region from top to bottom, and we knew going in that it could just be a few points that separate first place from sixth place, really. And so it just ended up maybe not going our way as a team, but we're grateful to get three of our girls into the state meet and have a chance for them to compete on an individual level and even compete for a team score too.
Well, let's talk girls first off, and Hadassah Olson. It just seemed like she was pretty much at least top five just about every time you ran this year.
Yeah, she has been very consistent throughout the year. Really pleased. She probably was seated about sixth going into the region, so moving up to fourth, we just expected her to be able to run strong, and just believe she, I mean, last year she ran in the low 20s. We still think that she's capable of high 19s, and we don't run in a lot of fast, flat courses. A lot of ours are more hilly, and so it'll just be interesting to see how she can do next week at in Sioux Falls. That's a fast and a flat course there, so.
And then really your top three for the girls were pretty consistent all season.
Yeah, Lily and Rayana actually ran together most of the season, just finishing maybe a couple seconds apart. Sometimes Rayana would be ahead of Lily, and sometimes Lily would be ahead of Rayana. And Rayana just struggled at the region meet. Sometimes that happens. You just can't explain it. You feel flat and tired. And, the year before, she ended up outside the top 20, but we got the team in. And so this year, we were glad that she held it together enough to get into the top 20, and we told her, you know, it was a bad race. She was more consistent throughout the year, and we really expect her to be able to bounce back next week and run with Lily again, and we'll see where we can get them.
Then the rest of the girls won't be running at state, but yet you had a few other girls, too, that ran.
Yeah, we had three other girls that were on the varsity team fighting for a spot. And, we just struggled with some injuries late in the season with them. We needed one of them to be our pusher at the region meet. And the Warner girl was really two places ahead of our fourth runner, about 12 seconds ahead. That was the difference between third and fourth place and taking the entire team to state and not. But those injuries were just a little bit difficult to overcome. One of them actually was kind of a freak thing. We ran in Howard and windy day, and the tent they had over the finish line, the canopy kind of collapsed on one of our girls' legs while she was just standing at the finish line, and had to take about 6 days off there at the end of the season. And so, yeah, just some unfortunate things, but they still had a good showing at the region meet, and we're proud of them. They'll all be back next year except for Rayana, so we think that that'll improve next year too.
And talking with Tom Brandner, head cross country coach, James Valley Christian, as they prepare for next week's state cross country meet. Turn to the boys' side. We mentioned Dax Franson being out for the year, and really, you knew that before he ever got practices started because he suffered the injury over the summer. But so other kids had to step up, and it sounds like you know you've had a couple different boys take the lead at different times, and at the end, it's a relative newcomer that's going to state.
Yeah, we started the season with two 7th graders, two 8th graders, and a junior, and so we really weren't sure what to expect. I think it was the Huron meet was the first time we put those four young guys in the JV race, and we're glad that Huron runs a 5K in that JV race, so it gave us a chance to see how they would do. Caden finished in 1952 for his first 5K. So we never actually moved him back to JV. We just kind of let him run out the season, and he just continued to improve. I still think he's just trying to figure out his pacing and where he'll be. Ran a 19:13 late in the season, and so I think he's capable of running under 19. It's just a matter of whether or not the state meet overwhelms him or whether he can handle that pressure. The other guys ran well for the season, their first season, and I like having a strong core in that 7th and 8th grade range, and if we can get Dax healthy next year, I think they could maybe make it as a team to the state meet.
Now let's talk state meet, and you've kind of touched on it already. It's, running in Sioux Falls, just a different course. Usually you're running on a golf course. It's more of a park. You said it, as you said, it's flat, and really, I assume that makes it a fast course.
Yeah, times are usually pretty quick, as long as you can get a good weather day and not some wind. In fact, a lot of the best times for the year for some of these Class B girls that are way out in front, the 17s and the 18 minutes, came at the Nike Invitational early in the season. And so that course is usually pretty quick, and trying to keep the runners in the race early on and not let that speed push them out of it. And, the pack just kind of pulls you along, and so I think kids could be impressed with some of their times coming out of that meet.
And you mentioned the girls, and it's kind of hard to understand, but you didn't qualify as a team, but you will be running as a team because you did have three girls in the top 20 to qualify. But I guess what that means is that you've placed fourth at the region, top three go. So while your top three girls can run, that means the rest of the girls can't. So you don't have tiebreakers.
Right. And the way they score Class B, you score three runners. Class A scores four runners. Class AA scores five runners. And so since we only score three runners, technically we get to score as a team. As tight as things are, I wouldn't be surprised to see a tie or two. Our region had a tie for first and second and a tie for third and fourth. And so I'd expect to see a lot of that. Potter County's a clear favorite, I think, in the girls. But after that, Chester, Arlington, Del Rapids, and then the six teams coming out of our region, I think all really could end up in that top five. And so if you run the race on five different days, I bet we get five different orders. And so it's just who can do the best on that day.
And wrap it up with this. I think you said Rayanna Hood's your only senior, boys or girls. Obviously, she's been looked at the leadership. But otherwise, you should have everybody coming back next year and look forward to that as well. And so good experience to end the season here this year.
Yeah, we're actually, because we only qualified one boy, we're going to take some of those younger guys with us just so they can be at the state meet and kind of get that experience. And so Rayon has been a great leader for us. She's been a part of a lot of 281 championship teams, two of our runner-up girls teams in the region, was a part of our team last year that was fourth at state. And so she's usually been a consistent scorer for us. And so we really hope that she can crack the top 25. She's wanted that all of her career. I think her best year was 28th out in Rapid City. And so I think she's got the ability to do it, and so we just hope things line up for her. And we love the experience that the young people are going to get, and hope that carries over into next season.
Tom Brantner, head coach of James Valley Christian Cross Country, running at the state meet next week in Sioux Falls. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Tyann Ulmer. Tigers split their two matches this week. They won in three over Roosevelt at home on Tuesday. Then on Thursday went to Sioux Falls Jefferson, ranked number two in the state, and fell in three. And that snapped a four-game winning streak for Huron. But Tuesday, with the sweep of Roosevelt, pretty much the best all-around match for the girls. Coach Ulmer said that contributions came from every aspect of the team.
Yeah, I think we stepped up our game a little bit. We knew what we had to execute, and I mean, did we make errors? Yeah. But did we recover from those easily? Yes. And that's what we're trying to teach them. Just recover from your mistakes and everything will go our way.
Tuesday night was the best night of the season for the back row. Only gave up two aces.
Yep. And they were a little tight on the second and third set, and then we had our passes off the first set, so we're like, okay, can you find the happy medium this second half of the third set? And I think they did that well. With the aggressiveness, we told the hitters no tipping at practice, so they had to swing, and they executed that as well.
And the attack was on target too as well on Tuesday. Five girls had between 6 and 11 kills, and Coach Ulmer says setter Hampton Hines just can spread it around and keep the other team off balance.
Yeah, she knows who she's looking for when and what's the right hitter at the right time. And do we have a strong hitter? No. So we have to spread the ball, and we have to make sure that our hitters are executing and being hot at all times.
Thursday night at Sioux Falls Jefferson. Jefferson just one loss on the season, ranked number two in the state, and a veteran team back. Huron actually had a good start, led much of the first set before Jefferson rallied to win it. And then after a good start in the second set, Jefferson started to flex their muscle and then went on to the sweep from there. Coach Ulmer did say it was a good start against Jefferson.
Yeah, we kept them on their toes. They made mistakes, and then set and a half comes, and then we start making our mistakes and we fall apart. So at some point in time, we've got to know how to get out of our silly mistakes that we're making and stop letting it frustrate us.
And Coach Ulmer said Jefferson very strong at the net with their power game.
Yeah, they're going to come swinging. They don't stop, and our blocking wasn't really on. I know we were sticking with the middles just because we knew that they were going to come at us too, so we tried to make sure that we stuck, but then the block didn't go, so then we got stuck over there, and it just comes down to blocking and keeping the ball alive.
Tigers now at 12-11 on the season, have the weekend off. We'll be on the road just one match next week, as they'll be at Pier on a Tuesday. Also, we're gearing up for Breast Cancer Awareness Night, annual event for Tiger Volleyball this year, Tuesday, October 24th. They'll host Mitchell at the arena tonight. Coach Ulmer says they're still selling the special T-shirts for Blockout Cancer.
T-shirts are on sale. I believe it's $18. You can order online or find one of the players or a coach, and we can get you one.
Cost again $18. They do need to have the orders in by tomorrow for those T-shirts. Also, there'll be a silent auction again this year, and also looking for donations there.
Yeah, it'll go live that night. So if you want to donate, find one of the girls or reach out to me through my email, and then we will make sure we get it on the auction.
And also looking for donations there, and I would like to have all those collected by this coming Monday or Tuesday. And earlier this month, and well, included Thursday night as well, the Tigers unveiled new pink jerseys that they can wear during the month of October. Ulmer talked about that entire set, which will be just something they can use now every year.
So they'll be wearing them pretty much every match in October. They will give Hilton their chance to wear it as a Libro, so it will be in pink all October.
And again, everything the volleyball team is doing is in conjunction with HRMC Foundation, as all money raised through all these various projects will go towards the We Got You Covered program. If you can contribute either that silent auction, buy a t-shirt, or just come out to the arena wearing your pink on the 24th, volleyball team will appreciate it. We'll be back. Tiger football next on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
Hi, this is Madison Hirschman, senior on Huron Tiger volleyball team. Our annual Breast Cancer Awareness Night is Tuesday, October 24th, when we host Mitchell at the Huron Arena at 7. Our theme is Blockout Cancer. We are selling t-shirts and we are also accepting donations for our silent auction. Contact any member of the team. Money raised from t-shirt sales and the silent auction will go to Huron Regional Medical Center's We've Got You Covered program. Hope to see you at Huron Volleyball Breast Cancer Awareness Night, Tuesday, October 24th at the arena.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning, back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football with us. Tigers pick up a 19-14 hard-fought win last night. Not the greatest weather conditions, the way it was for everybody, though, last night. And, coach, in many ways, I just felt typical Mitchell Huron, as the records don't mean a whole lot because that's a game that both teams, both group of kids look forward to, and grateful we made a big play at the end.
Yep, I mean, both teams came out with an edge there. Doesn't really matter the record. You know, both teams are kind of going for the win. I know that it's been a while. Mitchell's has got us the last couple of years, so it's nice to finally get him here last night.
You know, and many things there. First off, just talk about the weather, because it did impact us, as at the end of the day, five touchdowns were scored and all five were with the wind, and that was a part of the strategy going in.
Yep, I mean, once you went into the wind, it was pretty windy last night down on the field, so once you went into the wind, it kind of, you know, one-handed you and just made you kind of run the ball. I know Mitchell tried to throw it a little bit short, but even still then, both teams were kind of figuring out ways to try to move the ball into the wind, and it wasn't working out. So when we could get the wind to our back, you know, it kind of opened up the playbooks for both teams and able to drive the ball and score.
And that was kind of your strategy all along. You decided to take the ball to open the game and then went into the wind, and that your thought process really was the second half, we'll kick off and make sure we have the wind in the fourth quarter.
Yep, I just knew that it was going to kind of come down to the wind there, just with both teams and how they play and the edge that they had. So, you know, I knew we needed the wind in the fourth quarter just to, you know, be able to stay in, and if we needed it, we were able to open up the playbook again, and it happened to work out for us. And, you know, we found that last second drive there to, you know, with that go-ahead touchdown, which made it awesome for our kids to have that success.
Now, two touchdowns, I think, in the last 5 minutes or something like that. I don't have my stat sheet in front of me, and I don't have good clock numbers anyway from last night. But, you know, we got to start Logan Leyendecker. You know, he's kind of the forgotten guy on offense just because teams focus so much on C.J. Gainey and Gavin Moding. But he had a nice deep post, if I remember correctly, and then also broke a tackle or two to take it in from 37 yards out. And, of course, Colton laid it in there.
Yep, I mean, it was fantastic to see him again. We kind of switched CJ over to that one-on-one side again. I know Logan's been running a little bit, so, you know, we kind of flipped him a little bit, and that's just, you know, what we got to be able to do with our wide receivers and move them around, and Logan did a fantastic job of running his route and getting open and, you know, just having guys kind of worry about CJ and Gavin. You know, they followed Gavin on that, so, you know, it worked out perfectly, and it was a good catch and good finish for him to get a touchdown.
Then that second touchdown, boy, was there a crowd of people there. We had three guys basically in the same spot. Colby Hofer ends up catching the touchdown, and I don't know if it was exactly how you drew it up, but the end result was good.
Yep, I mean, you know, those guys just kind of run around, and I think he was looking for CJ coming across the middle there and just letting him clear the linebackers, and Kobe just happened to be there, and, you know, watching it back on film like we did, you know, Kobe was wide open in there, so it's just having the right people in the right spots, and, you know, there's a lot of guys that do things right, and, you know, hopefully we can make plays like that in the future.
In the second half, I thought we were a little stagnant. Of course, again, the third quarter going in the wind was part of that. Mitchell was able to take the lead. In many ways, last night's game kind of felt like the Sturgis game as well. But, you know, we get a couple of stops after they take the one-point lead and then finally get the ball back with, what, 4 minutes to go or whatever it does. And knew we needed to score. I think it started at the 18, but, boy, went right down the field basically with the pass. And, of course, 40 yards out hit CJ.
Yep, I think a couple other times we hit CJ in that drive, he just kind of locked in, and, you know, he's a playmaker for us on the outside, and he did a fantastic job of going up for the ball and making the play and, you know, getting in for the touchdown and giving a go-ahead run. McNeil did a good job of standing in there and taking a couple hits there on that drive, and, you know, he does really well, and we do really well even when he stays in the pocket, so hopefully we can just continue to do that and look into Yankton and just keep that pocket well and caps off to our linemen again. You know, they do a pretty fantastic job up there. We just got to continue to get better and hold them off for a little bit longer so we can have those open windows to throw.
A little more and a little more, we're getting Colton to run the ball a little more, take it out and then keep it himself.
Yep, I mean, he did a lot better last night of keeping the ball himself. And, you know, we've told him every once in a while, you just kind of got to take it yourself. And, you know, some of those big runs are there for him, and last night he did a fantastic job of that, and, you know, just kind of use him a little bit more, because I know a lot of guys or a lot of teams now are keying on Cashton just because he gets the majority of the touches back there at the running back, but a lot of the times it's a read option, and, you know, they'll kind of sit there, but we got to find ways to kind of move that around and, you know, just give him a blow every once in a while or just pull it because they're all focused on him.
You know, and getting a little more into that direct snap, the Wildcat to Cashin. I had him for 140 yards rushing. He's a tired pup at the end of the night.
Yep. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if we can come up with some trick plays for that, because I know he's left-handed, so it's easy for me to draw those
he's
up.
He's left-handed? Know that.
Yep. So he does a fantastic job back there. I mean, he's a hard runner, and then it kind of puts in, you know, you put in Thacker Hansen next to him and Kobe Hofer, and when Hag's out there, it's kind of like our three best skill guys there to block and help out our linemen or to find guys that we're trying to look for that we don't get to on the second level. So, you know, I thought they did a fantastic job, and being able to come in and just kind of run the ball like that downhill is really nice to see our kids do.
And, that two-point conversion there that we missed at the end of the game, what was that going to be, a jump pass originally?
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be a jump pass to Kobe Hofer, but Kobe Hofer thought I called the screen play, because I've actually had Hag been running that play with his nub, because I knew that not a lot of teams would be able to figure out that, why is this kid with a cast on going to catch a ball? So, you know, we've been throwing it to Hag, and then unfortunately Hag came out last night with a shoulder injury, so I kind of had to change it up on the fly there. Maybe should have called a timeout, you know, to talk to Kobe, because he thought he was running the screenplay that I had on him, or we fake our little jet sweep with cash in, then we throw it back to him. But, you know, all in all, we got the win, and it worked out for us. So, you know, we're very happy for these kids and the success that they had last night.
You know, and Colby Hofer, we'll start with him. Some of the individual guys, when Holden Haig went out, I believe it was in the first half, that kind of left Colby in charge there, that linebacker core. Those two guys feed off each other so well. But I know Oakley Anderson, sophomore, came in. I saw Ethan Olsen in there. At times you kind of mix some guys in there, replace Haig. And, you know, Colby was kind of the guy you said last night had to make sure everybody is where they were supposed to be.
Yep. I mean, him and Haig kind of run the defense of getting everybody aligned. So when Haig or one of them, doesn't matter which one, whichever one goes down, the other one kind of has to take over a little bit. And, you know, he did a fantastic job. And, you know, we had a couple other guys step up in his spot. Oakley being able to get out there, and then some guys stepping up and getting the spot, and Connor Johnson just doing a heck of a job on D-line to help out Hofer in the with that second level stuff and him making plays. So, you know, just all around, you know, a good job by our guys of picking up the slack when we have a Haig come out.
Yeah, Connor Johnson was the guy I was going to bring up next. He just had a whale a game on defense, and then you said those good runs that Cash and Caudill had. He was kind of following Connor there. Like I said, Connor just had a fantastic game last night.
Yeah, I mean, he does amazing. I know it's tough for him to get some recognition being on the line, but, you know, he's one of the few guys that we have that are playing both ways, and he never asks for a break. He never takes any plays off, and he's one of the few guys on the team, too, that when he messes up, he knows he does, and he'll let his teammates know that he messed up. But, you know, he's not shy for the ball or shy to get the ball behind him. Like, he'll come back, and I'll be like, yep, that was me, but let's go right behind me again, and let's roll. I got it this time. And, you know, he's just got the right mindset and a great leader on our team for those guys and just gives it everything he's got every time.
And now we look ahead, final game of the regular season, Thursday again at home against Yankton. Not sure you're going to be throwing it 50 times against Yankton like last year, but Yankton comes in. They got a chance to get the top seed. They got something to play for there at 7-1. We're the sixth seed right now. We've solidified our playoff standing, but bottom line is you want to be playing well, and for both teams, you want to be healthy after next Thursday night.
Yep. I mean, we just want to come out 100% healthy, and, you know, I know they got something to play for, being able to end up number one over Pierre if that happens. And, you know, we kind of got the same edge there. If we want to make our first round a little easier on ourselves, then, you know, this is our win. We got to get this win if we want to make that path, you know, to the Dome a little easier for us. So we just got to find ways and come up with some stuff to put our guys in positions to have success and just go out there and kind of give it everything we got with nothing to lose. And, you know, our kids do a fantastic job of playing against really well teams. I've always said, like, whatever team we're playing or whoever we're playing against, our team kind of matches that level of competition. So, you know, our team could come out and we could really just open it up. And if we choose to make the plays, then hopefully give ourselves a chance to win this game.
And just to wrap it up, you know, that Mitchell-Huron game, it seems to always come down to that. They've gotten us the last couple of years, including an overtime win 2 years ago. So it was nice. And I know when we were talking the pregame there on Wednesday when I met with you and we were doing the interview and I said something about for the seniors, they want to win. Jackson Reno was right behind us getting ready to get his shoulder taped up and stuff. And he just started shaking his head. Yes, the seniors want this.
Yep, I mean, that's a good rivalry to have, you know, and Mitchell's head coach, I think, has been in Mitchell for a long time. I think last night when I talked to him after the game, he said he's been there since he was 12, so he kind of knows the true rivalry of the Mitchell-Huron stuff, and, you know, he came ready to go, and he had his team ready to go, and, you know, it's just finally nice to get that game and not have something happen at the end there that doesn't go our way. So, you know, our kids persevered through that and overcame the adversity, and, you know, couldn't be more prouder of all these kids and what they did last night.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers now at 4-4 on the season, wrap up the regular season next Friday at home, hosting Yankton, currently ranked number 2 and seeded number 2. That'll be a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff on Tiger 95. Minnesota Twins saw their season come to an end earlier this week. We'll have more on that next on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. We wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday and look at the close of the Minnesota Twins season. The Twins advanced to the divisional round where they ran into defending World Series champion Houston. Twins were able to steal a game, Game 2 in Houston last Sunday, returned home with a chance for home field advantage, only to see Houston a win twice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and ended the Twins' season. Those two home games to end the season, Twins only scored 3 runs a total. Manager Rocco Baldelli said that bats just did not come alive at a good time.
We didn't score enough runs. It was a low-scoring affair. Both sides pitched very well. I was very pleased with the way our guys competed out there on the mound in general, made the plays behind them. We got what we wanted, I think, out of the situation. And, you know, like any game, you're going to bank on your team scoring some runs and making some things happen. And they did a good job. They attacked us well. our kitty changed speeds very well and kept us pretty off balance for his duration. And that was it. You know, any playoff series, they can, you know, they can end either way. You can win or lose them real quick. And you know, offensively, it didn't feel like we probably settled in and had the at bats that we had for most of the year, most of the second half at least. But you have to give credit to the team on the other side of the field for being a good ball club and for pitching well.
So now head into the off season. Many players begin their preparations right away. Of course, a few players don't know exactly where they'll be playing next year. Of course, one guy will be back, shortstop Carlos Correa, who played well in the postseason while battling injury throughout the regular season. Correa talked about time to start prepping for 2024 now.
I'm going to be in the gym tomorrow. I got to get a couple things done. I got to fix my heel. I got to fix my nose. I got to fix a couple things. But I asked the doctor. I'll be working out tomorrow, but the doctor will tell me how much time I need to take off, and I'll ask her if I can do upper body at least. So I'll be working right away.
Starting pitcher Chris Paddock should be back in the rotation once the new season starts next year. Paddock was acquired from the Padres right before the 2022 season, but only pitched into early May before he underwent Tommy John surgery. He came off the injured list in late September and pitched well out of the bullpen. He has signed an extension with the Twins. He talks about his future.
You can't write up what I just went through any better. You know, busted my butt for the past 16 months to get back in this clubhouse with these guys and to have some success in the postseason just makes me excited that all my hard work paid off. I've learned a lot the past couple weeks out there in the bullpen talking to those guys, and I really do think it's going to change my career and just how to handle certain situations, how to stay on the gas, you know, not get too high, not get too low. Just be in control of every pitch. I think sometimes as a starter I get ahead of myself, and looking back on my career so far, you know, I have those rough innings. Coming out of the bullpen, you got to throw your best stuff right away, and I think I'm going to be able to carry that over into the offseason, work on some things, and get ready for, you know, next year.
Pablo Lopez turned out to be a bona fide ace at the top of the staff for the Twins. Right now, I'd say he's the odds-on favorite to have the opening day start next year. And he says making the postseason, winning a few games, he says that's going to be a good springboard into 2024.
Yeah, absolutely, because like those are the guys that will be here in the foreseeable future, and like that kind of talent, like learning from this experience, learning from everything that we've been through, like it's going to make the whole group so much better. Like you said, like a lot of rookies, young guys stepped up and like elevated their game, elevated my game and our game in general. So I cannot wait to see the result and the process next year. You know, like we know what the end result, we know what that looks like, what we want it to be, but like the process and I'll be lucky to be a part of is going to be like incredibly fun to be a part of and see.
And speaking of those younger players, Eddie Julian said he learned a lot from playing in the big leagues his rookie year.
Well, I learned a lot this year, especially as a rookie, being my first year in the big leagues. And I learned a lot, learned from mistakes, learned from success. And I know what to expect next year. And I've had a taste of the playoff, and I know what I want to be. And I want to win it all for sure. And I'll do anything in my power just to get better and help the team win.
Royce Lewis, same way. He's looking forward to the future.
Just the growth. You know, I think it's obviously very exciting, but, you know, at the moment I'm just worried about saying bye to everybody and giving them a hug. I'm telling them I'm going to miss them for a couple months, just a little vacation. And hopefully we'll be able to go deeper into the postseason next year.
Who's going to be back next year? Well, the Twins have a number of players, as they do every year, that have a chance to go most anywhere as free agents. One of those, center fielder Michael A. Taylor, who was acquired from the Royals right before the start of the season and held down center field for much of the year. He says he hopes to be back with the Twins.
I hope so a lot. I really enjoyed my time here. Just quality people throughout the organization. The clubhouse and the locker rooms got a lot of chemistry, guys. We all just get along, and it's a quality organization and a quality ball club.
And Kenta Maeda just finished up his fourth year with the team, was the Cy Young runner-up in the American League in the shortened 2020 season, but then missed over a year with Tommy John surgery. He's a free agent. He also, speaking through his interpreter, would like to be back.
This is my first time hitting free agency and coming off of Tommy John and IL, you know, and then pitching, you know, fairly well from midseason to the end. I think I've positioned myself, you know, in a decent spot. So we'll see what the future holds. But, you know, I'm excited about that. You know, I really love the Twins, you know, all the way from the president, the general manager, you know, coaches, staff, and everyone. I really love the team and each person involved in the organization. And obviously, you know, the beat writers are awesome.
And back to Rocco to wrap things up. The manager said that the improvement the team showed this year, especially with the younger players, hopefully makes everybody hungry in 2024.
I thought our players, I thought they got better through the year. And the team is hungry in a way that I don't think we probably even were before. You get a taste of something like this, you show this to people, what this looks like and what it is. You know, we're not that far from playing in the World Series. We're playing against the best teams in baseball right now, doing a hell of a job going out there, competing against them and beating them. We didn't get it done in this series. We got beat. But I couldn't be happier with what I saw from so many of our guys, and I told them that. And we had a team, we assembled a team this year that had a lot of baseball players on the team, guys that have really good feel. They love coming to the ballpark every day. They love to work. And when you have guys that love to work, you're capable of more when you have a group like that. And I think that's what we did. And I hope we can continue to assemble really good clubs that play like that and that think about the game like that and have that type of awareness and things like that. I think it was a strength of ours and something that we talked about and we did. And we got some good results. We just have to keep getting better.
So the Twins into the offseason, the Central Division champs finally snapped that much-talked-about postseason losing streak of 18 games that went back to 2004. Not only snapped it, they won three games during their playoff run, so officially going 3-3 in the postseason and looking forward to next year. That will wrap it up here for Dakota Sports Saturday Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron, is up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown. From the dusty old rodeo trail, here's your host, Monty James.
Well, the bean counters have done their work. Final tally is in the books, and the next stop is a national finals rodeo in Sin City or Las Wages or Las Vegas, Nevada. They are pretty much all fitting. This year's dates are December 7th through the 16th. Join us on the other side as we take a retro flashback look at the standings for the banner year of 1993. But first, a word from the fine folks at Young's Western Wear and Discount Western Wear.com, purveyors of all things Western since 1928. Yep, some of my great-grandma's fondest memories were shopping online at DiscountWesternWear.com in the dirty 30s, allegedly. Tip of the hat to all the new customers nationwide from DiscountWesternWear.com, a division of Young's Western Wear, Valentine, Nebraska. The Weber Ranch family, owners of Young's, appreciate your business and work hard to provide quality products at an affordable price. Don't let the name fool you. This is top-of-the-line products from Arion, Justin, Carhartt, Tony Lama, Wrangler, Twisted X, Circle Wide, Cactus Saddlery, plus many, many more, all at super affordable pricing, hence the name.
Free shipping on orders of over $99 at LegendaryDiscountWesternWear.com.
Join us now as we take a sentimental journey back to the memorable year of 1993.
William Jefferson Clinton was inaugurated president.
The Waco, Texas siege ended in flames, massive flooding engulfed the Corn Belt, the movie Groundhog Day was released.
William Jefferson Clinton was inaugurated.
Just kidding. Get it? Here's how it went down in the Quest for Gold Buckles, sorry.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
Timery blew the doors off Joe Beaver in the all-around race, besting Beaver by 150K.
Cowabunga, dudes.
In the bareback riding, Montana legend Deb Greeno was the man. Robin Berwarsh of Alberta and Marvin Garrett of South Dakota went 2-3.
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
Bulldog in Louisiana slammer Steve Duhon edged out Mike Smith of Idaho with Nebraska's Oat Berry in the hole. Team Roping still one buckle for both sides of the neutered, formerly male bovine back in 93. Bobby Hurley finished 6K ahead of Alan Bach. Woolman and Skelton, not Skeleton, tied for third.
Down to the very skeleton.
Saddle Bronc ride. Montana's Dan Mortensen took the gold. Texan Craig Latham and South Dakota legend Billy Edbauer, silver and bronze, so to speak.
Huh. Oh, well.
Calf roping, tie down roping. It is what it is. Texan Joe Beaver edged out Nebraskan Troy Pruitt in the quest for gold. Barrel racing, Charmaine James capped a 10-year streak with yet another world championship. Toro twisting, the most dangerous sport on the planet. Ty Murray and Darrell Mills went down to the wire. When the smoke all cleared, the King of the Cowboys claimed the victory by a mere $95. For reals, that's how it went down in Vegas in 1993.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
Hope you enjoyed our flashback. Time travel back to 1993. Thanks to our sponsors at Purple Wave Auction, Legendary Sioux Steel Company, and DiscountWesternWear.com. For producer Big D Derek Beck and the Air Force at Disc Blowtorch, Monty James for the Territorial Rodeo Update.
I checked with dealers in Nebraska, maybe three or four in South Dakota, and a couple up north, and Monty Linscove and the team at Premier Equipment really came through. They consistently beat the competition by a substantial margin on their pricing.
Contact your local Premier Equipment dealer or see their all-star New Holland lineup at PremierEQSD.com. Locations at Isabel, Battle, Mobridge, Huron, and Eureka. Linscove family-owned Premier Equipment, serving farmers and ranchers since 1951. Official New Holland parts, service, ag, and construction equipment dealers.
It is about that time we get together with Reg from the Real Estate Connection once a week, and we talk a little bit about listings that are available. We talk about price changes. We talk about competitive market analyses. I don't know what the plural is of analysis, but they'll do it. If you're thinking about selling your home, they'll come out and check it out. They'll compare it to other places of comparable size, places in the neighborhood, places that have sold, and they will come up with a starting off price for you. That is called the competitive market analysis. If you are considering selling your home, get a hold of them at the Real Estate Connection. It's very easy. The office number, 605-352-1300. Check out the website at realestatehuron.com. You can also get a hold of Reg directly by call or by text, 605-350-2223. Another reminder, you log on to realestatehuron.com. You're going to get not only the listings from the Real Estate Connection, but you're going to get the multiple list listings because they are a member of the multiple list service. So when you go to sell your home, it goes out to everybody on that MLS. And when you're looking to purchase one, you can purchase no matter what the sign says. You can get help from the Real Estate Connection to purchase that home. They are a member of the multiple list. You can see all of the properties available, nearly every single one of them at realestatehuron.com. One more quick reminder before we bring on Reg. This is a huge purchase, buying a home or a piece of property or a business. So start at the bank. Call your banker. Tell them you're thinking about buying a home, a piece of land, a business, and they'll get the ball rolling on that. You'll get your finances all together, and they'll kick you out a little letter that says, hey, we're willing to borrow this person money towards the purchase of a plot of land or a home or a business, and that will help you in the buying process. And, I mean, let's be real here. Unless you got, you know, half a million laying around, this is a pretty big purchase. You're probably going to have to talk to the bank anyway. So start there and then head on over to the Real Estate Connection. Dakota Avenue South. Call the office at 605-352-1300. Check out the website at realestatehuron.com. Or call this guy. You can call him or text him. Reg Kleinsaucer at 605-350-2223. And Reg, how are you doing today?
We're doing good, Matt.
Reg, let's just get this out of the way right away. It wasn't a bad season for the Twins. A division crown. They won a playoff series. I think it's something to build on. A little bit of a brighter future now.
I think you're right.
So we button up the Twin season and then we ram right into the Wild season. Are you already shifted over to hockey, Reg?
Well, here's the mode I'm in. The Twins are done, the Vikings are done, and yes, it's hockey season.
The Vikings are done. He's signing them off. I love it. All right, so let's move over to real estate because I understand you got a new listing and then one that is fairly new.
Yes, we do. We've got a brand new listing. If you're looking to downsize, you're looking for something very nice, we have a twin home at 1137 15th Street Southwest. This is a two-bedroom, two-bath home. It's got a gas fireplace. It's got a double garage. It's got a brick front, lots of brick accents, very, very nice looking twin home. It's got heated floors in the kitchen and the bathrooms. It has new flooring. It's been repainted throughout. It is priced to sell, 1137 15th Street Southwest, and it's priced at $229,000. We also, speaking of downsizing, if you're thinking about a condo, we have a very nice condo at 470 21st Street Southwest. This is also two-bedroom, two-bathroom. It is the laundry is located in the unit, so that's pretty handy. Everything is covered with your condo monthly condo fee. It covers water, sewer, garbage, snow removal, lawn care. Everything is taken care of. So if you're looking for a worry-free living, check it out, 470 21st Street Southwest. And it's right across from the Catholic Church, just for reference, if you're thinking about which place that might be. It's priced at $123,900. We also have a price reduction. If you're looking for a four-bedroom home, we've got 876 14th Street Southwest. We've got a brand-new price there at $199,900. It's got updated shingles. Has new paint on the exterior. Very, very nice-looking home. Just on the corner of 14th and Arizona. It's ready to go. Give us a call. We can tell you a lot more about it. If you're looking to be in Wolsey, we've got a very nice two-bedroom home in Wolsey, attached single garage, detached double garage, many, many, many updates, including new furnace and air conditioning, new flooring, new sewer line out to the street, much, much more. 171 Ash Street in Wolsey, priced at $194,900. Very, very nice location in Wolsey. If you're looking to be kind of maybe in a small town setting, check it out. 171 Ash Street Southeast in Wolsey. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, give us a call. Like Matt said, we'd be happy to do a market analysis for you. If you're thinking of selling, if you're thinking of buying, check in with your lender, get that pre-qualification letter so that if the right place comes up, you are ready to go. Give us a call. We'd love to work with you.
And remember, it's real easy to get a hold of them. The office, 605-352-1300. You can call or text Reg. You can text him. You got a quick question about a property or about the home buying process, how does this work, how much do I need down, you know, just general questions. He'll answer them. He loves to answer your questions, wants to make sure you're informed. 605-350-2223 is his number. Again, call or text anytime. And, of course, you can check out realestatehereon.com. And I guess we'll end this, Reg, with Go Wild, right?
That's right. Go Wild kicked off the season last night with a shutout. And the University of Minnesota hockey, I don't know, star, I guess you'd call him, started off the game with the first goal of the season. So,
oh, very nice. That's got to feel good to start off a season like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I understand somebody has does somebody have a birthday coming up here?
Oh, there's a remote possibility.
Is that something? Are you gonna take in a game or something for the big birthday weekend?
Probably not. Probably be watching on TV.
All right. Well, you go on out and enjoy yourself. Get a little something done for your birthday, huh?
Absolutely. You bet.
All right, Reg. Well, you have a happy birthday weekend. We'll check in with you next time.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Reg Kleinsasser there from the Real Estate Connection, 605-352-1300. Get a hold of him at the office or get a hold of him directly. Call or text 605-350-2223. Check them out online, realestatehuron.com. That is the Real Estate Connection.
Cloudy skies expected today with highs around 53. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, lows level off around 38. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow, highs around 53. Mainly sunny skies and calm Monday, daytime highs approaching 59. 67 Tuesday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic on KOKK. Currently, it's 45.
Always here to inform you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
Welcome back to Calling All Sports. This portion of the show is brought to you by Sanford Health, Rosenbauer, Vance Thompson Vision, Dakota Bank, The Diamond Room, and Comfort King.
And welcome back to Calling All Sports. I'm your host, Mark Ovenden, with guest host Curtis Riggs, and with special guest Caleb DeBoer out in Seattle, getting ready for a big game against Oregon on Saturday afternoon. And Curtis, you're going to be there. Are you going to be like, are you going to have the cans on, the headsets on, and be helping out with with play calling?
Or? Absolutely not. Coach Grubb would have a no, for sure not. I will be a fan like everyone else in that stadium and questioning all the calls and yelling at the referees just like everyone else.
Okay, I'm just checking. I mean, Caleb, would you allow him to do that?
The questioning of the calls, I mean, whether I allowed it or not, he's probably going to do that anyway. So, no, it's good. It's good. It's going to be a fun weekend, that's for sure. So
sounds like you got a big contingent of former USF guys coming out to visit. How fun has that been for you to have people coming out? I bet there hasn't been a home game yet where there haven't been somebody that's come out as a friend.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool to, you know, have that experience for them to come out here. You know, there's other things too, not just the game, but seeing Seattle, and a lot of people make a weekend or even a week of it. So it's been fun having people on a regular basis the last 2 years come out here. So we're going to have a great day for football, to be an environment that's really second to none. You know, it's going to be awesome, sold out stadium, and I mean, it's going to be loud, so it'll be fun.
And the beautiful thing for USF fans, they wear purple anyway, so it fits right in.
It's easy. Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, we had a great group. I think 14 former players just from the kind of 2000 on group that are here. So, yeah, it'll be fun seeing all those guys and hopefully get a chance to spend some time with them, maybe Friday afternoon for a half hour or so. So it'll be fun.
Coach DeBoer, bye week last week. Did you go on vacation, or you want to kind of fill people in on what a bye week is for you and your position now?
Yeah, it was anything but that. Probably, I think, is what happens is every person around campus that wants to set up an appointment with me gets thrown into the bye week, and so those days were longer. And we also hired a new AD just this last week. And those interviews were happening all day on Wednesday and then some. So between that and then going on the road recruiting on Friday after our practice and coming back Saturday afternoon, kind of all of a sudden the week's taken up. So the players get a chance to get away for a day or two, give them some time away, more to freshen their minds as much as anything. But we had two players, Michael Penix and Roman Dunze, also are the first two ever endorsed college football players by Adidas. And so we took a trip down to Portland, which is just a short flight, but got a chance to see those guys sign their opportunities now in the NIL age, and that was a big deal for them and our university.
So how is losing your athletic director? I know that Nicole in particular, she and Nicole were like best buddies. That's how I met her. When I had my interview all set up with Nicole, and they came in all yucking it up and having a great time, come to find out that was your your boss. How hard is that, losing somebody like that?
Yeah, it is. And she was him when it was here for 25 years, not as the athletic director, really the last 7 to 8, but just someone who knew the institution and knew Seattle and really made the transition for me really, really easy. But, you know, that's part of, you know, any business or college athletics. So it's just, you know, there's opportunities, and she found a new opportunity. And then, you know, we hired a great gentleman, Troy Dannon from Tulane. And he's actually from the Midwest, you know, around the, in Iowa, was the athletic director at Northern Iowa for a while there in the early 2000s. So, yeah. So kind of some common people that we know and all that good stuff. But we got a great hire, and, you know, he started here this week.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's good to have that Midwestern roots because, you know, when you like your boss, that means such a big that's a big deal.
Yeah, trust is the trust is as much as anything, right? I mean, you know, you just like I trust our staff and that they're working hard every day to help us be the best, and they trust me, and it's the same thing. You know, when you know your boss, in this case, the athletic director is out working, you know, donors and helping our student athletes to be the best they can be, and is an advocate for our staff. You know, it helps you feel really good about the direction everything's going. So, but, you know, it's 6 to 8 weeks or so where, you know, we didn't have that, that leadership in place, and now we do. So, you know, we get to finish off the season and going into the, you know, the end of the year with Troy. So it's been great so far.
Kalen DeBoer is our guest. He is the head coach of the Huskies at University of Washington. Our co-host today, Curtis Riggs, heading out there tomorrow. I know there's a big contingent already left today to come out and maybe have a beverage or two and watch a football game and just have a great time. Curtis, how exciting is it for you to go out there and see your friend in this position?
Well, it's surreal, you know. I mean, to think about the journey, and, you know, Kalen occasionally maybe has a chance to do that, but not very often now, you know, to think of USF and then even coaching at Washington High School, to USF, to Southern Illinois, to Eastern Michigan, to, you know, the whole trip, the whole gamut's been unbelievable. And during that journey, Kalen, how much have things changed? Has NIL been the biggest change? Recruiting? I mean, how have things changed from when you were at USF coaching?
Yeah, the portal, you know, really at Sioux Falls, it's interesting. We were talking about it yesterday, in fact, in a different interview, just, you know, we had some transfers that came in and added to the base of local athletes, you know, that were the foundation. But Lorenzo Brown, you know, and I can think of just a lot of other guys that would come in and just be the guys that got us over the top. That's kind of what the portal's been. But the combination of the portal and NIL hitting at the same time, you know, there's no really, I mean, precedent. You know, there's no book that's written, and no one else can really give you the direction you need. You're kind of feeling it out. You know, and the portal started, you know, at 2018 or 19, and, you know, 19, I think, and then the NIL piece, you know, coming on here just in the last couple of years. So those things combined just add another element, another dimension. I mean, it's new staff that you have to hire just for, you know, some help in those areas. So it's a little crazier, but we're managing. We're doing a good job. I think we're thriving in the midst of it. A lot of it says we got a good place to sell, and a lot of people want to be here.
I don't think most of the world understands what the University of Washington campus, and in particular your football stadium, is all about. Because even if, as you drive up toward the football stadium, you have no clue. It's kind of down on a bowl. And you have no clue what it's like until you get in there and just go, wow. And then when you start telling me about all the rich people that live out on the bay, it's like, why would anybody go anywhere else?
Yeah, the scenery is something else. I'm looking at it right now. And so very lucky. And, you know, our stadium's on a great setting with Lake Washington. And like what you're referring to, there's a lot of people on that other side of the lake that are looking back this way. Have done some pretty good things in the business world, I think. So, yeah, it's a great place, and fun to be able to lead a football team, you know, one that's got so much tradition and history. Just a lot of good people. We got a lot of those alumni coming back this weekend. Even guys that fortunately had a bye week, you know, in the NFL coming back. And so it's a big game for us. It's a big game for them.
Yeah, timing on that is perfect. I was at the Alabama-Texas A&M game last Saturday with Nick. And, let's see, Myles Garrett was there and Mike Evans was there. I'm like, I looked at Nick and went, there's no way. And we looked it up and they both had a bye. That was the only way they could be there. How cool is that? How many former Husk